Well, welcome to day 34 of the federal shutdown for those of you who haven't received a paycheck in far too long. And for all those of you who, someone in your family has a diagnosis of cancer, and those of you who are having a relationship problem at home or with one of your kids, this is your time to shine.
Welcome to this Fabric Podcast. My name is Chris Tripolino.
And I'm Melissa Locke.
And although I'm a little hesitant to admit it, I'm Greg Meyer after that introduction. Yeah, we're talking about some of these foundational things about our lives. And yeah, those crises that I just mentioned, those are real crises. We would never, ever want to pretend that they're not. What we want to get at here is something we've been talking about for this last month, and that is these big decisions in life that lay foundations for us. We're talking about four of them. There's certainly more than four, but there's certain foundations, certain decisions that we make that steer all the other day-to-day decisions that we have. So, you know, we aren't controlled by them. I mean, the things that just go on in life don't dictate how we will react and what's going to happen to us, but they alert us to the fact that it's just time for us to get down to what's really important. In fact, the phrase that triggered this whole idea about this conversation was, you know, how do we live lives that react to what's important, not just to what's happening?
Yeah. And I think it's fair to wonder if being in this position to make these proactive decisions about, we've talked about money, we've talked about relationships, we've talked about just even deciding that we have a choice, like that we have free will. Mm-hmm. And it can seem like a luxury or a privilege at first.
Yeah. And I would say that this is one of those places where we're kind of boldly saying that, no, it's actually just as important in those crises to deal with some of these big decisions. It's essential at whatever moment you're at.
In fact, Chris, wouldn't you really say that they're even more important
when
you're in crises? I mean, I'm glad my house has a good foundation every day when I walk around and it doesn't tip over on me. But if there'd be a hurricane, earthquake, or tornado, that's when I'd be really glad that when they built that house, a foundation was put underneath it.
Yep.
And, you know, and it's true, like, well, what do I do? You might say, well, I'm in crisis now, and I didn't really sort out some of these things about my relationships. I didn't sort out some of these things about my relationship with my money and things like that. What do I do now?
No,
am I just screwed?
Yeah.
Right. But it's never too late to make those decisions,
That's
right?
The good news here.
Yeah. I mean, one of the truths, the hard truths is you probably wish you would have.
Yep.
Like, I really would have realized that part of my money was to help me prepare for times like this long ago. But it's never too late to make these decisions now and to be operating with your money in ways that don't make you the helpless victim, but help you realize, what was my money about in the first place, right?
And it's not going to solve your crisis, you know, likely, but it may give you enough to really start dealing with that.
Well, it changes your relationship to the crisis, right? I mean, this is the difference between proactive and reactive. If you haven't decided what's really important in life, how do you know what's important and what's just like going on? And you're just blown by whatever wind happens to be out there, right?
And I think that's a very common experience. People are bombarded with things to worry about.
And I know I'm supposed to be proactive, but what am I being proactive about? Because I don't have a standard. I haven't decided, well, this is the stuff I really want to pay attention to. Or when these other things are happening around me, all this stuff that makes me want to be reactive, this is what it's pointing to. Or this is the underlying piece, a foundational piece that I would want to turn to and say, this is where I'm going to work.
Mm-hmm. And this is the point where I think it's important to kind of point at our emotions, where our emotions really play a huge role in this, right? They, in a lot of cases, they become the what's happening,
right?
That thing that we have to deal with.
And in fact, in some respects, we almost think our emotions are enemies. So
My
thing is, when I have these emotional reactions because I'm worried about my job, I'm worried about my income, I'm really hurt in a relationship, is how can I discharge that emotion?
Yep.
And that's confusing, something that, again, I think most people are confused about, is that we think our emotions are supposed to dictate our behavior. I feel this way, therefore I will.
Yep.
No, they're not. They're there to alert us. They're telling us that there is something wrong or something really, really right, and it's pointing at something else.
Deeper.
Right.
They're giving us information. So it's not that we're supposed to be these unemotional, like, proactive machines that have thought about everything. but to listen to the information that our emotions are giving us.
Bingo. They're pointing at something, but if you've never gotten the sense of what's really important in life, you have no idea what they're pointing at. You simply react to them. So, you know, like in a relationship, I'm deeply hurt by something, I feel betrayed by my partner or something like that. So if I'm going to react to the emotion, what am I going to do? I'm going to, you know,
try to drown your sorrows and
have a couple of shots of whiskey that night and try to forget it. Or just like we're going to do a silent treatment. We're just not going to talk about it until it seems to dissipate. Or,
or you're going to overreact and call your friends and complain and just get all worked up, really, really get worked up.
I like getting revenge personally. if good. I can make the other person hurt as much as I did, then, you know, it's not so bad. Mm-hmm. Or I can go and say, you know, forget you. I'm going to go meet my emotional needs over there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, there's all kinds of things. And those are all letting the emotion call a shot, not pointing at the fact that, why am I deeply hurt here? Like, when we talked about the big decision about relationships, we said it's all about we. Relationships aren't about me and meeting my needs, but they're about we. They're about meeting our needs together. So are those emotions saying there's something broken in our we-ness? Yes, that was an intentional sentence. Yeah, and that's where I need to turn. It's like my emotions are getting my attention, pointing me at this and saying, Greg, you made this really big decision about having this relationship be about the two of you together or about you as a team at work, whatever. I think you need to revisit that and find out
how to address that.
How to move towards that.
I think it's kind of like, you know, to use some medical language, it's what we tend to do is to confuse the symptom for the cause, that we start addressing the symptoms rather than looking for what those symptoms tell us, right?
Right. Yeah, there's no reason not to address the symptom.
Right.
Because that's kind of the immediate thing. So when my friend comes to me and they've got in a financial crisis, they're afraid their house is going to be foreclosed and so on, like, I'm going to sympathize with them. I'm going to,
Feeling really worried and truly, so rightly so.
I'm going to address that emotion. I'm going to address that symptom. But I'm also going to say, well, you know, find the moment. So let's look at your budget. Let's look at your relationship with your money. How have you been trying, you know, to let your money serve you? Oh, gradually you get to the point you've been serving your money all along. I mean, for a long, long time, you've gotten owned by an income and a dream and an illusion of what a good life could be like. Let's start turning all that around. And the same thing, you know, you give ibuprofen and Tylenol to your kid because of their fever, but you take him to the doctor to see, is there something else going on here that we need to treat?
Yep.
And I think when we've wrestled with these decisions, we can ask ourselves better questions too. Sometimes we need those people coming and helping us think through things, and we can also get better at.
Yeah, we can do it on our own too. Not just doing all of these things on our own, but we can become proficient at asking those kind of questions to look deeper at what really is important for us.
Mm-hmm. Practice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Practice.
So what I would say is that asking the kind of question like, what's important in this area of my life right now, that kind of practice could be really powerful for us in this conversation to get at what those emotions are pointing to deal with these foundational decisions.
Distinguishing what's important from what's just happening.